The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're getting into a book that honestly has really shifted how professionals think. I mean, everyone from surgeons to people building skyscrapers. We're diving into Atul Gawande's The Checklist Manifesto, How to Get Things Right.
Yeah, this is such a crucial topic for anyone really who deals with complex tasks. And Gawande, he brings us face to face with this pretty startling truth about why we fail sometimes.
Which is?
Well, it's usually not about ignorance. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's about ineptitude.
Yeah, it's such a powerful word, ineptitude. So failing to actually use the knowledge we have, dropping the ball on something simple, maybe?
Exactly. We've got the training, the data, maybe even the genius, you know? But the process breaks down somewhere, often on a basic step.
Okay, so our mission today, then, is to unpack how this incredibly simple tool, the checklist, can act as a kind of cognitive safety net.
Right, how it helps even the most brilliant people in really high-stakes situations perform, well, systematically better.
And to really understand the weight behind this idea, we have to talk about Atul Gawande himself. He's got such unique credibility here, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's asking experts to kind of check their ego, and he has the standing to do it because he is one of them.
He's not just an observer, then.
No, not at all. He's a practicing general and endocrine surgeon, Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. He's in the thick of it, dealing with life and death situations constantly.
But he's also got this other side, right? The reflective side. Professor at Harvard Med School and famously a staff writer for The New Yorker.
That's the key duality, I think. Mm-hmm. He's on the front lines and he's a rigorous thinker and writer. He gets the culture, the pressure, the ego, frankly, of highly trained professionals.
So when he advocates for checklists, he's speaking from experience.
Exactly. From the inside. Hmm. He's seen what happens when preventable errors occur. It gives his argument real teeth, you know? It's not just academic theory.
So let's talk about the book itself, The Checklist Manifesto. What's the core purpose?
Fundamentally, it's about convincing really skilled people, doctors, pilots, engineers, investors, you name it, that embracing these seemingly mundane standardized procedures isn't a step backward.
It's actually a step forward.
A huge step forward. Hmm. It leads to dramatic, measurable improvements in how things get done, especially in safety and performance.
And how does he make that case? What's the journey in the book?
Well, he starts in his own world, the operating room. He observes the sheer number of critical steps involved in surgery, thousands sometimes, and realizes that statistically, human error is almost inevitable.
Just too many opportunities to miss something.
Precisely. Mm. And just telling people be more careful or try harder, that doesn't cut it. So he starts looking outside medicine.
Where does he look?
To fields obsessed with reliability. Aviation is a big one, obviously. Mm-hmm. Skyscraper construction, too. Think about coordinating all those moving parts.
And he finds checklists are key in those fields. But it's more than just a memory aid, isn't it? That's what I found fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. That's a crucial point. He shows it's a tool for changing how teams work together. It forces communication. It can flatten hierarchies, strangely enough.
How so?
Well, we'll get into that. But it moves us away from relying on the myth of the lone, infallible genius, mm-hmm. you know, towards a more disciplined, team-based approach.
Okay, let's dig into that complexity problem first. You mentioned the operating room. What kind of scale are we talking about in medicine?
The numbers are just staggering. Gawande points out there are something like over 100,000 different medical diagnoses, thousands of procedures.
Wow.
And get this. The average patient in an ICU, just one patient, needs about 178 different actions performed by the staff every single day.
178 actions per patient, per day. It's hard to even get your head around that.
It really is. And think about it. Even if the team is incredibly accurate, say 99% accurate overall, with that many actions, the chance of some error creeping in becomes really high.
And these aren't errors of ignorance, right? They know what to do.
Exactly. It's the ineptitude piece again.
Yeah.
It's not that the nurse doesn't know to check allergies. It's that under pressure with maybe cognitive overload, maybe time constraints, that one known step gets missed.
So how did we stumble upon the solution? You mentioned aviation.
Yeah, there's this fantastic historical story that Gawande highlights. It goes back to 1935 on a military runway. The birth of the B-17 bomber, essentially.
The Flying Fortress. Wasn't that a huge leap in technology at the time?
Massive. Way more complex than anything pilots were used to. So they have this crucial test flight. The pilot, Major Ployer Hill, One of the Army, of course, most experienced guys.
Okay, top pilot, cutting-edge plane. What happened?
Disaster. He crashed the plane almost immediately after takeoff. Two crew members died. And the reason? He forgot one simple preliminary step.
What was it?
He forgot to release the rudder and elevator control locks before hitting the throttle. A basic check.
So the complexity overwhelmed even an expert's memory.
Exactly. The initial reaction was, this plane is just too much for one person to fly. They also scrapped it.
But they didn't, obviously.
No. A small group of test pilots had a different idea. Instead of demanding superhuman memory, they came up with, well, a checklist.
Just a piece of paper.
Yep. A simple pilot's checklist covering pre-flight, takeoff, flight, landing, and that single intervention. It transformed the B-17 from unflyable to incredibly reliable. It proved checklists weren't for beginners. They were essential for managing complexity at the highest level.
That really reframes it, doesn't it? Expertise actually requires this kind of tool. So when Gawande decided to bring this into medicine, how did he figure out what makes a good checklist? You can't just list everything.
No, definitely not. He actually consulted Daniel Boreman, who was Boeing's expert on checklists. And Boreman stressed, keep it concise, keep it precise. It's not a how-to guide.
It's a verification tool.
Right. For critical moments, not for teaching you the basics.
Are there specific design rules then?
Yeah, a couple of key ones. Keep it short, ideally between 5 and 9 items. That seems to be the limit of our working memory under pressure.
5 to 9, okay.
It needs to fit on one page, be easy to read, and you have to be clear about which type of checklist it is.
Yes, the two types. Can you remind us what they are? Read, do, and do confirm.
Exactly. Read, do is straightforward like a recipe. You read step one, you do step one. You read step two, you do step two. Good for routine, linear tasks.
And do confirm.
That's the one for experts in dynamic situations, like surgery or flying. You perform tasks relying on your training and memory, but then you hit specific, predefined pause points.
Pause points.
Yeah, moments where the whole team stops, goes through the checklist, and verbally confirms that the absolutely critical, high-risk steps have been completed correctly before moving on.
That sounds powerful. So, armed with these principles, Gawande took this to the biggest stage imaginable, right? The World Health Organization project.
He did. He led this huge global initiative to create and test a surgical safety checklist, just 2 minutes long.
And they didn't just test it in one fancy hospital.
No, that's what makes the results so compelling. They rolled it out in 8 incredibly diverse hospitals around the world. Places like London, Seattle, sure, but also New Delhi, Toronto, Amman, even Tanzania. Rich hospitals, poor hospitals, different cultures, different resources.
That diversity is key. So what happened when they implemented this simple 2-minute checklist?
The results were just, well, they were stunning. Across all these varied settings, implementing the checklist led to a 36% drop in major complications after surgery.
36%, that's huge.
It is, and even more staggering, a 47% drop in deaths.
Wow, nearly half the death rate with a 2-minute checklist.
It's irrefutable proof, really. Evidence-based proof that this simple intervention, this discipline, saves lives on a massive scale. Competence plus discipline beats competence alone, every time.
That evidence is just so powerful. And it leads us right into the core themes of the book, doesn't it? What's the first big takeaway?
I think theme number one has to be the indispensability of humility. Because the biggest hurdle wasn't getting the checklist right, technically. It was getting professionals to use it.
The ego problem again. I'm an expert. I don't need this simple piece of paper. That kind of thinking.
Exactly that feeling. That it's somehow beneath you or an insult to your years of training.
But Gawande turns that on its head, right?
He does. He argues that true professionalism isn't pretending you're infallible. It's acknowledging you're human and having the discipline to use systems that prevent known errors. Embracing the checklist isn't weakness, it's professional maturity.
Okay, humility first. What's the second theme?
It's the idea that checklists are really about communication over competence. They're not just lists, they're social tools.
How do they improve communication?
Think about that WHO checklist. Mm. One key step right at the beginning is forcing the team members to stop and actually introduce themselves to each other by name and role.
Seems simple, but I guess in a busy OR, maybe that doesn't always happen.
Often it doesn't. And that simple act does wonders. It flattens the hierarchy a bit. It makes sure everyone knows who's doing what. It empowers, say, a junior nurse to speak up if they see something wrong, because they've been acknowledged as part of the team.
So it shifts the focus from one star performer to the whole team working together.
Precisely. Success becomes about coordinated effort, not just isolated skill, which links nicely to the third theme, actually.
Which is?
Simple solutions freeing up cognitive capacity by using the checklist to handle the stupid but critical stuff.
The routine things you shouldn't have to think too hard about.
Right. It takes those off your mental plate. It frees up your brain power, your cognitive bandwidth.
So you can focus on the genuinely complex parts, the unexpected things that really need your expertise and judgment.
Exactly. It lets the experts focus their high-level skills where they're truly needed, instead of wasting mental energy remembering basic checks.
The book is full of really memorable lines that capture these ideas too, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. They really stick with you.
I remember one that directly relates to that cognitive load point. Gowon says something like, the checklist gets the dumb stuff out of the way, freeing your brain to focus on the hard stuff.
Yeah, that perfectly captures the cognitive benefit. And then there's the idea, aimed at overcoming that ego barrier, that checklists are quick and simple tools aimed to buttress the skills of experts.
Buttress the skills. So support, not replace.
Exactly. It makes it clear this is a tool for skilled people, designed to make them even better, not something to compensate for a lack of skill.
And you really can't discuss this book without bringing up Captain Sullenberger, right? The Miracle on the Hudson.
He's sort of the poster child for the checklist era, in Gowande's view. And it's such a perfect example.
Why? Because he didn't just improvise wildly.
Precisely. His heroism wasn't just pulling off an incredible landing. It was his calm, disciplined application of emergency checklists under unimaginable pressure. That discipline freed him up mentally to then handle the unique, unprecedented parts of the Hudson River landing itself.
That discipline created the space for effective improvisation. Okay, let's make this practical. For you listening, you don't need to be landing planes or performing surgery. How can we apply this right away?
Well, the first step is just thinking about your own work or even your life. Where do mistakes tend to happen? Or where would a mistake have really high consequences?
Could be anything, right? Submitting a big report at work, even just getting out the door on a hectic morning.
Absolutely. Maybe it's personal logistics. I love the idea Gowande mentions a simple travel prep checklist.
Right. So the night before a trip becomes your pause point. You run through maybe 5 to 9 critical items, passport, meds, chargers, house locked, set the alarm.
Exactly. Takes 2 minutes, kills that nagging anxiety that you've forgotten something vital.
What about professionally? Maybe something like investing. That can get emotional.
Perfect example. Instead of making impulsive decisions when the market goes crazy, you could use a DO confirm investment checklist. Do your research, sure, but before you buy or sell, hit the pause point.
And check what?
Maybe 5 core principles you've set. Is the balance sheet solid? Is the valuation fair? Do I actually understand this business? Does this fit my long-term plan? It forces a rational check against emotional reactions.
And the key is sticking to those design rules. Clear pause points, 5-9 items max. Test it, refine it so it actually works for you.
Right. It has to be practical and usable, especially when you're stressed or busy. Otherwise, you just won't use it.
You know, looking back on this, what surprised me most was the sheer force of the evidence. The idea that intelligence, all the training, all the experience, it's fundamentally not enough anymore in our complex world.
Yeah, the game has changed. It seems the new measure of real excellence includes this systematic, disciplined approach to process.
What's your final reflection on it?
For me, it comes back to that profound argument for professional humility. Seeing the checklist not as a sign of weakness, but as a mark of maturity. It's acknowledging, I'm human, I can miss things, so we'll use a tool to ensure I don't.
That discipline becomes the final essential ingredient for sustained excellence.
I think so. It's about consciously committing to getting the basics right every single time so you can handle the truly hard parts effectively.
A really powerful reminder. Sometimes the simplest tools are the ones that make the biggest difference.
Absolutely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Accatra Foundation.